that's not even a part of it, never been a part of it. But I'm going to tell you what's right with it. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, you're going to get some criticism. People criticize Jesus Christ, and he was the only perfect man that ever lived. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I heard a fellow one time challenge that. He said, oh no, he's not the only perfect man. He said, my wife's first husband was the other perfect man. But really, Jesus is the only perfect man. There's never been another one. There never will be. The Apostle Paul was a pretty good man, and we honor him, don't we? Wouldn't you love to have the Apostle Paul preaching here tonight? Amen. Wouldn't you love to hear him? I think we'd get a pretty good crowd if we could announce that. Amen. And we love the Apostle Paul, but you know, in his contemporaries, they didn't like him too much. Did you know the 2 Corinthians 10 and 10? Look at this. It said, for his letters say they. Who is they? That always comes up, doesn't it? They say. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Now, would you think of saying that to the Apostle Paul? But some people did. They made fun of the way he talked. They made fun of his looks. They just made fun of him. That was his contemporaries. And even though you're a good person, people may criticize you. And you and I are just going to have to get a thick skin and grow a backbone, because we're going to get some criticism. People are going to say some things that are going to hurt our feelings, and we're just going to have to get tough and hang tough and say, no man can hinder me. No man can hinder me. Yeah, man, you're just going to have to say, oh no, you're not getting between me and the Lord. I'm not going to let that happen to me. Amen. And then he talks in verse number 12. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, are comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now you got that, right? That made perfect sense. Let's break that down a little bit. Go just a little bit slower. Amen. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. In other words, there are some people that think they're okay. Well, there's a book years ago. You remember that? I'm okay, you're okay. Amen. I guess that was kind of based loosely on this. Amen. But there are some that said, I'm all right. And he said, and they measure themselves by themselves. In other words, they look at somebody else and they say, well, I'm as good as so-and-so. You ever heard that one? Well, I'm as good as he is. I'm as good as she is. So what? What difference does that make? I'm as good as they are. Well, good. I'm glad you are. But that's not the standard. You see, when you compare yourselves to other people, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to feel superior to them, and you're going to be tempted to be prideful, or you're going to feel inferior to them, and then you're going to feel inferior. And neither one of those things is good for you. So we don't compare ourselves with ourselves. Amen. Paul just told us, didn't he? He said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. It doesn't matter if I think I'm as good as somebody else. That doesn't make me approved. Amen. He said, but whom the Lord commendeth. So my goal in life is to let God say that Johnny Grisham is good enough. And until I hear him say that, I'm not good enough. I've got to keep trying. I've got to keep pressing. I've got to keep improving. I've got to keep changing. Every day trying to be more and more and more like Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do, and it doesn't matter what other people say. I have to, for myself, try to be like the Lord. You, for your own self, you have to be like the Lord. Amen. One of the most probably hurtful and dangerous statements in recent years is, everybody's doing it. So what? Does that make it right? That doesn't make it right, does it? If it's wrong, it doesn't matter how many people doing it makes it right. It's still wrong. And so that is a very foolish excuse for behaviors because other people are doing it. Amen. The reason to do something is because it's right. Because it's good. Because it's wholesome. Not because somebody else is doing it. Amen. And so, but I want to talk with you tonight a little bit about what's right with the church. Let's just go ahead and do what's right. Not what's popular, but what's right. Amen. It doesn't matter what other people are saying, what other people are doing. This is where we need to find our foundation. Right? Amen. I've heard people say, well, you know, there are so many of this and so many of that, so they must be right. The majority is always right. Wrong. Ask Noah about that. And the people of his day. Right? 8 souls entered into the ark. And only God knows how many didn't. But the majority drowned in the flood, and the 8 righteous walked out on dry ground after the flood. So being right has its own reward. Amen. And we need to do what's right. I want you to know tonight about the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about this church. Amen. Because we do strive to be the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know outside our United Pentecostal Church, that's the organization that we are members of, and I'm glad to be a part of the United Pentecostal Church. I personally think it's a very good organization. But Jesus is not just coming for the United Pentecostal Church. He's coming for those that have prepared themselves and made themselves ready and are looking for His appearing. Amen. But the reason I do like this church and this home church in particular is because we're doing some things right. One of the things that we're doing right is we're preaching the right doctrine. I know there's a lot of churches that say we shouldn't preach doctrine. Well, that's a doctrine. You know what a doctrine is? It's teaching. So anything you teach is a doctrine. Amen. You can have an anti-doctrine doctrine, but it's still doctrine. So we might as well have a Bible doctrine. We might as well preach what Jesus preached. We might as well teach what Jesus taught. And you know what? That's what we're trying to do around here. Amen. Let's look at it for just a moment. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus had a visitor by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, what must I do? Amen. And he said, how can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus started out by telling Nicodemus, you need to be born of the water. And that's right there, that's baptism in water. And the second thing he said is you must be born of the Spirit. So he's talking about water baptism. And he's talking about spirit baptism. Amen. And so that was what Jesus taught was necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And at the well in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, Jesus met a woman, a Samaritan woman there. And he answered and said unto her, whomsoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Everybody say in him. A well of water springing up unto everlasting life. What was he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? He said, I'm going to put it in you. It's not outside. He said, I'm going to put it in you. And it's going to spring up like a well. I know sometimes it seems a little weird around here when people start popping up all over like Jack in the Box. You know, but there's just something gets in us and it gets stirred up, hallelujah, and it makes us want to get happy. Amen. Makes us want to dance and march and shout and sing and worship and praise. Amen. Because we got a well on the inside. I think of the old timer snuck off to one of those Pentecostal meetings. His wife, he knew he'd be in trouble if she knew he went. His wife was an angel. She's always up in the air harping about something. So he snuck off to go to a Pentecost. He didn't mean to get involved. He went out and one of those old brush arbors, and he was outside. But something got a hold of him, and it drew him closer. And the next thing you know, he was on the sawdust trail. And his knees hit an altar. And he repented of his sins. God gave him the Holy Ghost. He started speaking in tongues. He spoke in tongues for the longest. Amen. When he left, he was talking in tongues. All the way home, he was talking in tongues. And when he got to the front door, it was late, 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 late. Amen. He said, Lord, please let me stop talking in tongues. Amen. Sadie is going to get me. He said, please don't let me talk in tongues. Amen. And she opened the door and she looked at him, and the first thing she said, you went to that Pentecostal meeting, didn't you? And he started talking in tongues. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because there was a well on the inside. Something springing up that he just couldn't stop. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus said it's going to be a well of water springing up. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow. Everybody say out of. If it flows out of, it's got to be inside. The source is inside. It said it shall flow out of his belly. Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Everybody say not yet. Not till the day of Pentecost, but it was getting very close. This was a prophetic utterance. He said it's going that very near. It's going to happen really soon. Amen. Praise God. And so Jesus taught his disciples. Amen. John chapter 17, 4. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, I've finished. In other words, I've taught what I came to teach. I preached what I came to preach. I did what I came to do. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And verse number 6, he said, I have manifest thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. They were thine. And thou gavest them me, and I have kept, or they have kept thy word. So what did he put in them? Two things. He said, I put my name in them, and I put my words in them. Amen. John chapter 17:12, he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them by thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. So Jesus said, I put my name, I put my word in them, and the word has kept them, and now I'm going to send them into the world just like you sent me into the world. What I'm saying is that when the apostles began to preach, it wasn't just their word, it wasn't just their doctrine. I've heard people say, well, I would rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. Let me tell you, they are one and the same. The words that Peter preached are the words that he received from Jesus Christ. The message that he preached was the message that he got from Jesus Christ. Peter was not preaching his own message. He was preaching what the Lord gave him and what the Lord put into him. And the Bible said when he stood up at Pentecost, he stood up with the 11. They were standing right beside him. If he got something wrong, they wouldn't have let it go. They would have pulled his coattail. But they didn't do it. They said, amen, right on. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting a lot of good out of that song tonight. John 17, 20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see the importance of doctrine? How do I know Jesus Christ? Because of their word. I've never heard Jesus preach. He's never spoken to me face to face, like I'm talking to you and like you talk to me. Amen. But I have heard his word, both his written word and the spoken word, by somebody that preached the words that Jesus gave them. And so we have received the word because he put the word into the apostles. After his resurrection, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 49, the Bible said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now that is an amazing thing when it happens. That ever happened to you? Yes, it does me. And I get all excited, Brother Neil, when I'm reading something, all of a sudden the light comes on and I start understanding. I said, woo, I never saw that before. Woo, that'll preach. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I get all excited about it when that happens. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. What are you saying, Jesus? He said, I'm getting ready to loose you in the world. And you know what I taught you? Remission of sins is by my name. Amen. Baptism in his name, that's what he taught them. Do you know how the apostles were baptized? In the name of Jesus. That's right. That's how they were baptized. How do you think they baptized their disciples? In the name of Jesus. That makes sense to me. Does that make sense to you? Is that good enough? Is that good enough? Is that good enough? Then why does anybody want to change it? If it was good enough for Jesus, if it was good enough for his apostles, it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't need somebody else to come along and change it 800 years later and say, no, this is right. They didn't have the full revelation back then. Amen. You mean to tell me that men 800 years removed from Jesus Christ had more understanding of what he said than men that heard it from his lips and walked with him and slept where he slept? Amen. And saw his miracles and heard his teachings? Amen. You mean somebody 800 years later got some revelation that was worth more than what the apostles had? I don't think so. Pardon me for being bold, but that just makes sense to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm feeling good about all this. Because I think the church is all right. And I'm talking to you about what's right with it. Amen, 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 amen. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. He said, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know what happened when Holy Ghost anointing starts moving, Brother Bacon? You start remembering things. Amen. When Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he started preaching, he started remembering things. Amen. The teacher, the comforter, the Spirit of truth was dealing with him. It was bringing things to his mind. And he was saying those things that the Lord brought to his remembrance. And that's what he preached at Pentecost. And the 11 standing with him said, hey man, Pete, preach on. Amen. So, Jesus taught a certain thing. Well, what did he teach? Let's see if we can find out. Because he said that the Holy Ghost is going to teach it to you and he's going to bring it all to your remembrance. So at Pentecost, Peter stood up. You talk about the Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. It did out of Peter. Do you remember when Jesus was being taken to the cross? There was a little old girl that stood up and said to Peter, said, you're one of those followers of Jesus. I saw you with him. And he started cussing and said, I'm not. And then a little later she said, listen, you talk like him. He said, I do not. He denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he? That's right. He's scared to death of a little old girl. But then he got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. In one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house when they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Now Peter got the Holy Ghost. And when they got the Holy Ghost, I promise you one thing. They weren't sitting around with folded hands saying our fathers or Hail Marys. Oh, the Bible said it was noised abroad. They were talking in tongues. They were excited. They were acting like we do sometimes. Amen. And people gathered around. They did the same thing they do with us. They started laughing, looking, pointing at them, said, look at that one. He's a drunk again, stand up. Amen. And the Bible said they thought, and some said, these men are drunk. Peter didn't deny it. He said, but not as ye suppose. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. And then he took his text from Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and began to preach the word of the Lord. And my, he preached. He grew a backbone. Amen. And remember, the same people that crucified Jesus Christ, that's the same people he's preaching to. The same people that he cowered before, now he's standing bold as a lion preaching the word of the Lord. You know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get bold. It'll make you bold. Then later on when you get home, you'll think, did I say that? Did I do that? What got into me? Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Martin? Amen. The Holy Ghost will make you say, get out of that chair. Then the devil will beat you up all the way over home saying, why'd you tell him to do that? That's right. The Holy Ghost will do that to you. You get bold. Amen. You get faith. And then after you come down from that anointing, reality sets in. And you think, man, that's a little strong, don't you think? Amen. But the time, the Holy Ghost was working. Amen. And that's what happened to Peter. Man, he is preaching. And at the end of his sermon, he said, in this same Jesus, he said, you have taken and you have crucified. The Lord hath made him, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. He accuses them of crucifying the Messiah. And I'm telling you what, when the Holy Ghost's working, it's working. And the Bible said they were convicted. Amen. The word says pricked in their heart. That means they got a prickly feeling right down in here. And they began to say to one of the men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, come right up here, shake my hand, sign the book, join the church. Amen. Kiss my ring, and you'll be all right. I don't believe that's what he said, was it? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And you know what we preach tonight? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We haven't changed that not one little bit. That's what, if it was good enough for Peter and the apostles, it was good enough for me. Amen. Well, was he the only one that preached that? No, sir. Amen. The Bible said Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the Bible said they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So if they were baptized in the name of the Lord, he must have preached baptism in the name of the Lord. And they were waiting for the Holy Ghost. They hadn't got it yet, but it wasn't because he wasn't preaching it. It was because Peter had the keys. Amen. When Peter got there, laid hands on them, the Bible said that then they began to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter went to Cornelius' household. And he preached to this Gentile. And it said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that means the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? It says, and he suggested to them that if they wanted to, perhaps they could be baptized in the name of the Lord. No, he didn't do it that way. The Bible says, and he commanded them. Everybody say commanded. Didn't suggest. Commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. So you see, what did they preach? Same thing we preach. I'm going to tell you something. There's something right about this church. We're not perfect. We got our problems and our difficulties. But I'm going to tell you one thing we got right, and that's the doctrine. Amen. You can't fault the doctrine. It is right straight out of the Scripture. 100%. Amen. It's just as pure as it can possibly be. The Apostle Paul preached the same message. Acts chapter 19, verse 2 through verse 6. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. There he is preaching that Holy Ghost business again. Amen. Somebody said, I wish y'all would get out of the book of Acts. Well, I wish you'd get into it. Right. Amen. And they said, we've not so much heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. What was wrong with John's baptism? It was by immersion. It was in the water. They plunged him under. The only difference in the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus was the name of Jesus Christ. That was the only difference. Amen. But it was enough. It was enough. When they said that, the Bible, then Peter said, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, sent unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It must be important, folks. It must be. The apostles made a big deal out of baptism. I know that there are some groups and churches that don't make a big deal out of baptism. I don't know why they don't, because the Bible did. And the apostles did. And Jesus did. So why shouldn't we? Amen. I'm not being anybody's judge here. I'm just telling you what the Word of the Lord says. I'm just telling you that we're doing right. We got the doctrine right. Amen. And one of the problems, I've heard people say this, they say, well, if people didn't make such a big deal out of doctrine, there wouldn't be so many churches. Yes, there would. Do you know how many churches there'd be if we would have maintained the same doctrine? One. The way we got so many churches is we started changing the doctrine. You got a group over here that doesn't believe in baptism at all. You got another group over here that means you can baptize if you want to. You got another group over there that'll baptize you any way you want to be baptized, say anything you want to say, do anything you want to do. But you know, we even have that. I read last year, believe it was, that the atheists were having an unbaptized service. Serious. Serious. They had a service with a bunch, I'm telling you the truth, they had a service with a bunch of hair dryers drying people out, trying to get baptism off of them. It won't work. Amen. You talk about weird. If there's not a God, what difference does it make? Why are you trying to undo? What difference does it make if you don't believe it anyway? Why do you try to undo something that you don't even believe in? It shouldn't even matter. You know why? Because it matters to them. It convicts them. It angers them. It disturbs them, because the Spirit of God is at work in people's lives, and conviction gets all over people and eats them up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, the doctrine's right. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, we got the doctrine right. Woo! We got the doctrine right. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Amen. Now, the apostles were pretty particular about it. Galatians chapter 1, amen, verse number 6. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, he said, they're going to pervert the doctrine. And listen to what he said very carefully. Verse number 8, he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he said, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. I'm telling you what, he was serious about this preaching business. And he was serious about his doctrine. He said, don't you change the doctrine. Don't you believe anything else. He was very firm about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I'm just saying tonight that we got the doctrine right. Now I want you to know that we've got our direction right. We're doing some right things around here. We still believe in praying. Prayer still works. Prayer still works. Prayer still works. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:14 said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The Bible said that we're supposed to pray always. Amen. With all prayer and all supplication, we're supposed to pray. Amen. Prayer is the right direction. If you're praying, you're doing something right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's important that we pray. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." Holiness. "Without which no man shall see the Lord." Now we still believe in holiness around here. We still believe in separation from the world. Anybody still believe that message? Amen. Praise. We still believe that. The apostles believe that. The Bible taught that. In Corinthians, Paul quoted the Old Testament prophet when he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Amen. So there's still a call to separation. Amen. I remember the Jesus movement back in the 70s. Amen. The Jesus movement. When people would go out and you know, they'd do whatever was going on. If you wanted to do marijuana, we just do marijuana and I'll just evangelize while we're smoking. Huh? Yeah, they did. They'd go in the bar and get up on the stool and they'd sit there and talk to you about Jesus while you're down in your beers. Huh? What's the difference in you and me? None. The Bible said, "Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord." God, the Bible said Jesus came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. He came to deliver you, to get you out of it. Amen. Praise God. You'll be just as miserable if you have the Holy Ghost sinning as you did when you didn't have the Holy Ghost sinning. Matter of fact, you'll be more miserable. Amen. But the Lord came to save us out of the world. He came to deliver us from our sins. Hey, that's right. We're preaching the right thing when it comes to holiness. We got the right message when it comes to holiness. Yes, we do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you folks take it too far. How can you take it too far? Amen. Just all you got to do is just follow the Lord and what He tells you to do. You know what? I have never, but we've had a lot of people pray through at this altar, and I've never given one of them an instruction booklet full of do's and don'ts. Never have. I've been doing this for 40 plus years now, and I've never, Brother Bacon, I've never given anybody a book of what they can and can't do. Not one time. But the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. And if you'll follow, you know what I'm talking about here. Amen. If you get ready to do something wrong, the Holy Ghost is going to say, "Nah, don't do that. I can't go there. I can't do that." Amen. And if you want to stay with the Holy Ghost, you won't go there either. And you won't do that. And you won't say that. Not because Brother Grissom's going to get you if you do. I'm not even in the equation. This is between you and the Lord. You do it because you love Him. Not because the United Pentecostal Church says no. Not because Pastor Grissom says anything. But because you love Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. So that's right. We got that right, folks. Everybody say, "We got that right." Amen. I'm telling you some stuff that's right with the church. Holiness is still the right message. Well, I could preach on that one a while, but we probably need to move along. John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Unity, we're working on that one, but we're getting there. I said we're working on it. Everybody say we're working on it. Unity. Yeah, we got to always work on that. But we're getting closer all the time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Amen. Chapter 4 and verse 6 is really what I wanted. It said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Everybody say, endeavoring. That means we're trying to. Amen. We're human beings. And we sometimes get aggravated with one another. I know you get aggravated with me, and of course I never get aggravated with you. Well, maybe a little bit. Amen. That's right. We're endeavoring. Everybody say we're trying to. Trying to. Amen. We're trying to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we're not ever going to agree on everything. You're not always going to agree with the kind of tie I wear. Amen. And whether it matches with my shirt or not, you're not always going to agree with that. Amen. I know some people think that you ought to just wear white shirts and that's all you ought to ever wear. Amen. Because that's what Jesus wore. No, He didn't. Amen. But they believe it just about that strong. Amen. And they believe that we ought to preach out the King James Version of the Bible just like Jesus did. Well, that's not true either. There was no New Testament when Jesus preached. Amen. If you really believe that, you need to learn Koine Greek. And then when you preach in Koine Greek, nobody will understand what you're saying. But you'll be right. I mean, you'll be back in the original, all right. You'll be back as far as you can go. If you'll learn Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, and Koine Greek, if you'll do that, then you can preach out the original Bible, if you could find one. But you can't find one. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we say, well, you know, that's the only Bible. The only Bible, that's the one that Peter and James and John preached out of. No, it's not. They wrote it, New Testament, but they didn't preach out of it. Amen. It was and this is this King James that I'm using right here tonight is the fourth edition. Have you ever read a 1611 version of the King James Bible? If you have, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. Because the words are the spelling's different. The letters are different. You got to really pay some attention if you got a genuine 1611 version of the King James Bible. It's very different than what you're reading here today. Amen. Folks, let's don't make mountains out of molehills. What difference does it make if somebody wants to read the Bible where they can understand it? Is that so bad? Now, I love the King James. Don't get me wrong. I read other versions sometimes in my study, but if I find anything different, I go back to my King James and say, wait a minute. Let me see if that's right or not. And I'll tell you what, I don't always agree with what I find in other versions either. I trust the King James more than any other version. But you can go to heaven reading another version. You can read the nearly inspired version and go to heaven. Amen. You can. I can preach Acts 2:38 from the NIV. There are some things in the NIV I don't agree with. And I will not use it as a pulpit Bible. But it's valid for study. The New King James Version, you know what that is? That's the fifth edition of the Old King James Bible. I'm just saying, let's don't make mountains out of molehills. Let's don't put up stumbling blocks where they don't belong. Let's don't make divisions in the church over things that really just not that important. Is that all right? I hope so. I'm hoping I'm not bothering anybody here tonight by saying that, but I want unity, and that's part of unity. Amen. We can sit right down and you can read your version, I'll read my version, and we can discuss it, and I'll show you where you're wrong. And the King James is right. Amen. Because it is the most nearly correct version of the Bible that we have. I'll grant you that, and I love it, and that's why I use it. But I'm not gonna split fellowship over somebody that does something different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm just glad they're reading the Bible. If it's the New Living Testament, go ahead and read it. I'm just glad you're reading something. That's better than what you used to read. Amen. Thank God you're in the Word at least. Amen. We can get you there eventually, but just get started somewhere. Amen. Unity in the church. Unity in the church. Amen. We can't always be unified about the music we want to hear. Amen. Wasn't that a wild song we did up here tonight? That was from 1970. So it's not that wild. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's a lot of things we don't agree on, but we can keep a spirit of peace about it. I can allow you to do some things that you want to do that may not be my favorite thing. And you can allow me to do some things that, as long as they're not sin, that I want to do, and you don't just get all upset about it because I'm not doing it the way you think it ought to be done. Amen. Brother Grissom, you sure are making sense up there tonight. Amen. So unity is right. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit of the bond of peace. That's what we're trying to do here, folks. Amen. Unity, 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 unity. We don't agree on everything, but let's be unified. Let's keep peace about it. Let's don't fall out with one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. My. Praise the Lord. Well, man, I could go on there a while, but I'm trying not to. Amen. So our our direction's right. We're headed the right way. We haven't arrived, but we're headed the right way. We're doing some right things. Amen. Our desire's right. Amen. You know why? Because we are seeking to be commended of the Lord. It is important to me what you think. But it's not as important as what the Lord thinks. I would like to be commended of my brethren. But it's more important that I be commended of the Lord. So you see, that's my desire, and that's your desire. Is we are trying to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's what we're aiming for right there. And if I can hear that from the lips of my Lord, then I will have made it to where I want to be. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, verse 14. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "What happened yesterday is in the past. I wake up this morning and I'm pressing forward." Amen. I may have done real good yesterday. I may not have done well at all yesterday. But today's a new day. And when I get up, I'm going to press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what I'm reaching for. You know what? If you'll just keep doing that, you're going to make it, friend. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look what somebody's doing over here. Don't look to what somebody's doing over there. You just keep pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward. Amen. That's what we got to do. Because our desire is right. Our direction is right. Our doctrine is right. Our mission is right. Amen. We're here to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you. Amen. There's some things that's right with the church. Amen. You know, we could talk, and some of you might want to talk a long time about some things you think are wrong. But I'm telling you, these are the things that are right. And we're headed the right way. We're going the right direction. We're not there yet, but we're headed the right way. Praise God. We're making progress in our righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Be patient with me. Amen. I may not be perfect, but I'm right about some things. I think we're right about the most important things. How about you? I said, I think we're right about the most important things. Amen. We may not be right about what color carpet we want to put on the floor. Amen. But we're headed the right direction, and we're right about the most important things. That's what matters most. Amen. What's right with church? Amen. What's right with the church? What's right with the church? What's right with the church? Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen. 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 We need to get right. If you're not right, you can get right. Amen. It's just really simple. The Bible said repent. That means to make up your mind that you're going to change the direction you've been headed and the things you've been doing, and you decide you're going to follow Jesus and you're going to do what's right. That's what repentance is. It's not only saying I'm sorry for what I've done wrong, but it's saying I'm going to start doing what is right. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my direction. Amen. I'm going to change my destiny. Amen. I'm going to change my relationship with God. I'm going to go the right way. That's repentance. Baptism. The water is ready, and you can be baptized tonight in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight with evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And that's right. Amen. These are things that are right tonight because we gave them to you directly out of the Scriptures. Anybody want to get right tonight? Amen. No time like the present. No time like right now. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is waiting to embrace you, to forgive you, to restore you, to fill you. Amen, to save you. He's already tonight. He is anxious and waiting. He's just waiting for your response. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Here's an altar. Amen. Anybody, you need to get something right tonight. This is the place. This is the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. The Holy Ghost is in the house. Amen. Everything's just right. Come on. Praise the Lord. Let's get right with the Lord tonight. Amen. Step out from where you are. Come on down. Amen. Pour your heart out to God. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell Jesus about it. Tell Jesus about it. Tell Jesus about it. Hallelujah. Tell Jesus about it. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Oh, I need you tonight, Jesus. If I ever needed the Lord before, I sure do need him now. I need him every day and every hour. Oh, yes, Lord. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. I need you in this place, Jesus said. Here I am, here I am, here I am. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Holy and filling. My Lord, can light.
Hallelujah.